hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see, as ye see the day approaching. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we pray that you would add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. And we just pray for grace, God, just to look at this scripture and just get illumination, God. Sanctify us with thy truth. Thy word is thy truth. And bind the enemy out this place. Save somebody, sanctify and edify all. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been looking at the book of Hebrews, amen. If I could just stop sweating from worshiping, amen. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, amen, and it's written to us for the Hebrews to stay in the faith. And we embarked upon chapter 10. And chapter 10 was all about how the new covenant is better than the old covenant. And if you remember, we had several points coming out of chapter 10. And number one, the new covenant had one sacrifice forever. Number two, through the new covenant, Christ conquered his enemies forever. And number three, amen, I can't read my hand right now. He perfected us forever. Somebody say forever. Somebody say Wakanda forever. I'm just joking. So he perfected us forever as well, amen. And hallelujah, we're going to continue along those lines. I'll cover like point five and six tonight, amen, if we got time. If we don't, I'll stop with five, amen. But and it's just continuing to talk about the new covenant, amen. And last time we left off on a high note, because as we was talking about the new covenant, we went back to Jeremiah 31, amen. And we talked about how God did make a new covenant with the house of Israel, where he would write our laws not on stone tablets, but on our hearts, if you remember, and write them in our minds. And we talked about those laws not being the low law of the old covenant, but the high law, the higher law of the new covenant. Amen. And in the new covenant, he said he would also forgive our sins and our iniquities. He would remember no more. So let's look at chapter 10 again. Look at verse 19. Let's go straight into point number five. The new covenant, amen, also provides us with a new and living way. Say that with me, a new and living way, all right? And that's in verse 19. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, amen. The Bible here says in 19, having therefore brethren. What this is that the writer of Hebrews is talking to believers right here. And he's telling believers that we have boldness now. Boldness to enter into the holiest, all right? That boldness, when you look at it in the Greek, it means confidence. It means assurance, all right? And the old covenant, the high priest used to enter in him by himself. But he couldn't enter in with boldness or confidence. He had to enter in with fear because he didn't know, amen, if the Lord would smite him dead on the spot and they'd have to drag him out with a rope. And he's making a comparison once again that the new covenant is not like that. He said, when we come to God, and we can come to God anywhere, anytime, amen, we can come in with boldness. And that's confidence, that's assurance. But that boldness in the Greek, going deeper into the language, also means liberty and freedom. Somebody say liberty, and freedom. And it's kind of synonymous to like children having access to their parents. All right? All right? If you're a child of somebody famous, amen, other people can't see your daddy or your mama, amen. But if you're a child of some president, some prime minister, some queen, amen, they see their parents freely. All right? I want to tell you, you are a child of God, amen? And you can see the King of Kings anytime you want. That's that boldness there. It's a freedom of access, amen? That freedom right here and liberty, that boldness, not only means freedom of access, but it means freedom of speech, all right? And this might be where, hey, amen, they pull that out of the, for the American Constitution, freedom of speech. Well, what does that mean? Not only can I go to God with confidence in this new covenant, not only can I go to him at any time because I have the freedom and the liberty to do so, but once I'm in there, I have freedom of speech with my Father. Meaning I could talk to him about anything. Anybody hear me up in here? I don't have to hold anything back. I can pour out my heart to the Lord. And he tells us, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. He says we have boldness, y'all. Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So how do we get into this holy of holies? He tells us, by the blood of Jesus. And that's through the cross, y'all. That's through the sacrifice of our Lord. And that's the only way to get into God. In John chapter 14, verse 6, amen, we know the scripture. Jesus tells us clearly. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man can come to the Father but by me. Amen. Hallelujah. We thought they was going to put it up there, but they didn't. But you know it. Amen. And the fact of the matter is, amen, is that the only way into the holiest, the only way into the presence of the Most High God is by the blood of Jesus. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Verse 20, amen, gets to it. He calls the blood of Jesus and the cross and the new covenant, he calls it by a new and living way. A new and living way. And this word new is making a comparison and contrast right here. It's a new way as opposed to the old way. The old way was going through the priesthood. The new way is going through Yahshua Jesus Christ. Come on, give God some glory. It's a new way. All right? God made. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, God made a new way. All right? Don't try to go the old way. God made a new way. All right? It'd be kind of like if you was driving, amen, and they condemned the road because they was putting a new road somewhere. All right? Don't you try to take the old road. They're not maintaining the old road no more. The old road is overgrown, amen. The bridge might be out in the old road, amen. You better take the what? The new way, amen. The new road, amen. He calls it a new way, y'all, as something that was recently made. Something that was lately done. Amen. And he's talking about the cross. He's talking about the old covenant. But he calls it not only, hallelujah, a new way. He calls it a living way. All right? And I love that. That word living is zeo or zo, amen, in the Greek. All right? And in its essence, it means, hallelujah, it means life. All right? And hallelujah, And it means, on the first level, it means to be alive, all right? So the way that he's given us now is a way that's alive, all right? Pastor, what does that mean? Well, our Savior is alive. He's not dead. Anybody hear me up in here? Our way got up on the third day. Anybody hear me up in here? So when they say a living way, amen, Jesus is the way. And guess what? He's alive. Our God's not dead. He's surely alive. All right? He is. Okay? So that's one of the meanings when he say a living way. That's why the Bible says in Peter, we have a living hope. All right? Other religions have dead hopes. All right? They focusing on people that's dead. All right? And you can name a whole bunch of them, and all their leaders, their prophets, dead, okay? We the only one that our Lord, he died, but he rose right back again. Anybody hear me up in here? So he calls it a living way, all right? Why would you ever want to follow somebody that's dead, follow a dead way, all right? He said, nah, it's a living way. So that living not only means, amen, life, it means to be alive, but going deeper into the Greek, it means to not only be alive, but have the ability to produce life. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God. Somebody say a living way. Living way. All right, all right. It's a new way, but it's also a living way. Pastor, break that down. Well, this way produces life. It gives you life. You see, the old way only gave death. You see, the letter, the law, it kill it. All it do is point out sin, and the wages of sin is death. This new way? This new way is a living way. All right? The old couldn't help but to give you death. The new can't help but to give you life. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And I have in my notes, just thinking about it, well, what kind of life does the new give us? First of all, it gives us eternal life. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why he calls it a living way. Because when you come to Christ, admitting you a sinner, believing in his death, burial, resurrection, confessing him as Lord, you get life. Somebody say forever. Forever. All right? That's why it's a living way. Because he gives us eternal life. But going deeper, not only eternal life, spiritual life. All right? Because before we come to Christ, we spiritually dead. I tell you all the time, we like people, amen. Our walkie-talkie is broken on the inside. And we're born like that because we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And we dead. We dead before we come to Christ. Spiritually dead. Can't talk to God. Can't relate to God. Can't understand the things of God. This new covenant is not only a new way. It's not only a living way because it gives us eternal life, but it also gives us spiritual life. It fixes that spiritual part in us that's broken so we could communicate and understand God and be understood of God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? Amen? It's a living way. It gives us eternal life. It gives us spiritual life. And this is my favorite part. It gives us abundant life. Woo! Woo! Pastor, what's abundant life? The best life you've ever lived. This called a living way because when you come to Christ in the new covenant, you will have the best life you've ever lived. All right? All right? Don't mean you're not going to have your ups and downs. All right? Because we all have our ups and downs. But I don't know about you. All right? By a show of hands, isn't it better in Christ, huh, than outside of Christ? Is this not the best life you've ever lived before? I don't know about you, but I got to testify. I got to tell somebody. This is the best it ever been, Mike. All right? And it's always been that way. All right? And I want to tell you, it don't go from better to worse, no. It keep getting better and better and better and better. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, we go from faith to faith, and we go from glory to glory. Amen. I'm telling you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing. You got to receive what I'm saying. You think it's good? Nah. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. Tell him you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah, yeah. Look at your other neighbor and say it's going to get better than that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a living way because it produces abundant life. What is abundant life? Abundant life is the overflow life. All right? It means you come in empty, but you leave full. Amen. I'm watching people that came to church empty, and they're thinking I'm not noticing, but I'm noticing you got children now. You didn't have children before. What's going on? What's happening? Somebody say overflow. Somebody say abundance. All right? All right? You're going to start having things and doing things that you ain't never had before. All right? But if you would stop complaining, and you would stop murmuring and stop fussing and just open that house, the minds in that house you didn't have before, and that car you never had before, and look to the side, that spouse you never had before, and look down the hall and them children you ain't never had before, and open that closet, them clothes you ain't had before, and walk outside in that pool you ain't had before, and go to work to a job you ain't had before. And anybody hear me up in here? Somebody say abundant life. It's a living way. It's a living way. There's a river of life flowing through the new covenant. Where Jesus is saying, all who are thirsty come. come and drink of these fountains. Come all who are thirsty. He said, come. He said, come. The Spirit said, come, all who are thirsty. And I'm going to give you life. It's a river of life, y'all. All right? And no matter what religion I tried coming up, whether it was entertaining the Jehovah's Witness or entertaining the Mormons or going to the Muslim meetings, all the different things I was trying on my way to truth, nothing had a river running through it. Woo! It all left me thirsty. You see? Somebody say abundant life. That's what he means. He says a new and a living way. You see? You see? Jesus said it in John 10. He says, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And I'm here to testify of a truth. That promise is as good, is better than gold. Come on, give God some glory in this house. All right? He calls it a new and living way which he had consecrated for us. That word consecrated just means he made it for us. All right? And going deeper than made, amen, consecrate means, amen, to set something apart for a purpose, to dedicate something. And God was showing me, amen, hallelujah, these big corporations or our military, amen, they'll dedicate like a Navy vessel. They'll come out there with a bottle and they'll dedicate it, amen. And it's a big ceremony and they dedicating it to something. They consecrating it to something, amen. And this new way, the cross, amen, is dedicated, all right, it's consecrated. It has a heavenly ordained purpose, all right? They not only consecrate and dedicate vessels, ships, they dedicate bridges, all right? And the cross is a bridge. The cross is a ship that's been dedicated by the Most High. And it's dedicated to get us from one side to another. To get us from death to life. From sin to righteousness. From hell to heaven, and it's been consecrated, dedicated, not for him, but for who? For us. That's the new and living way. That's the new and living way. Consecrated for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What we need to know about this is, going back to the tabernacle pattern, what separated the holy place from the holy of holies was a veil. And you couldn't get into Holy of Holies without passing through the veil. There was only one way in and one way out. All right? And the writer of Hebrews is drawing from the tabernacle pattern as an analogy to the new way, the living way, to the new covenant. All right? He's drawing an analogy to salvation and the tabernacle pattern of the old covenant. All right? And he's saying, we get to God, y'all, in a similar fashion. They had to pass through a veil to get into the Holy of Holies, and we got to pass through a veil too. Ooh. Well, what's the veil of the new covenant? He says the veil of the new covenant is his flesh. Meaning that you got to pass through Christ to get to salvation, to get to God. There is no other way. There's only one way in. Anybody hear me up in here? And I want to tell you, amen, for all those that's in the world, amen, they used to many entrances and exits. Amen. They've been dealing with metro code too long. You got to have a bunch of exits and entrances. But the way the Most High operate, he usually operate with one entrance and one exit. I draw your attention to the ark. There was one door in the ark. All right? One door. One way in and one way out. And let me tell you something else. When the time was done, when the rain started, all right? It wasn't Noah that closed that door, no. It was God that shut that door. Woo! Woo! what's the parallel, Pastor? The one way to heaven is Jesus. He's the door into the Holy of Holies. He's the veil that you got to pass through. All right? If you try to come up some other way, in John 10:1, look what he says in John 10:1. Hallelujah. He tells us, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a what? A thief and a robber. You ain't getting it no other way. You could try Buddha, you could try yoga, you could try all that stuff. You're not getting in unless you come through Christ. All right? All right? 10:9, look what he says. He said, listen, 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved. Shall go in and out and find passion. That's just saying you're going to be blessed when you get in. You see? The veil is Christ, y'all. The veil is his flesh, his body that was broken for us. In the same way in the Old Testament, you had to go through the veil to get to the mercy seat, is the same way you have to go to Christ in the new covenant. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right, all right. Point number six. Let's try to do it, y'all. Come on, y'all still up? Come on, we're going to move fast. Point number six. All right? Point number six is let us. Not let us. Let us. Some of y'all hungry. Y'all think about a head of lettuce. Amen? Amen? In our house, we got a little picture. It say let us, like a head of lettuce. Let us pray. Let us pray. Amen? But he's going to wrap up this section on the new covenant after listening all the benefits of it. Huh? He's going to tell us now we got some things we got to do. All right? We got to do some things. All right? He's saying, man, listen, that new covenant is fantastic. You got one sacrifice. He conquered his enemies forever. He protected us forever, perfected us forever. He fulfills the old covenant. Amen? He's saying, man, he's doing all these things for us. Giving us a new and a living way, amen? Well, we're going to have to do a few things. Point number six, he says in 24, let's look at 21. He says, and having a high priest over the house of God, because we have Christ over the new covenant, with all these precious promises, he begins in verse 22. He says, let us, and he's going to give us a list of things, let us, he starts off, draw near, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Somebody say, draw near.
Draw near.
So if God's going to do all this for you, your new covenant, make a way for you when there was no way, use his own body and his blood as a bridge, as a ship to get us over, amen, to where God wants us to be, he says we have a responsibility to draw near. That draw near means to get close to a location in the Greek. But this location is not a physical location. It's a spiritual one. He's not telling us to get to a mountain, get to a building. Nah. He's telling us to get close spiritually. Get close spiritually. Pastor, how do I get close spiritually? Draw near in prayer. That's why God showed me that little sign in my house. Let us pray. You see what I'm saying? All right? We got to pray. Draw near. If God was so good to make a way, we got to pray. That means we got to take advantage of it. He made a way, Tyrone, so we could have boldness, confidence, freedom to go in whenever we want, to ask him whatever we want, to complain about whatever we want. Amen? And he's saying some of y'all not even taking advantage of it. He said, you got to draw near, man. He said, you got to pray more. He said, you got to get up in that closet more because somebody paid dearly to get you this access. All right? All right? And what it did, it took me back, amen, to slavery. It took me back to civil rights. It took me back to all those times and seasons where our people couldn't do things and couldn't have things and they wasn't allowed to read and they wasn't allowed to write and they wasn't allowed to vote and they wasn't allowed to own property and they wasn't allowed to go in certain buildings and they wasn't allowed to do this and to do that. Amen. But through the struggle, amen, they were able, amen, to push through that through the help of the Most High God. And now we have freedom to do some things that they ain't never had freedom to do. All right? All right? But even with all these freedoms, y'all, to read whatever we want, to educate ourselves in whatever fashion we want, to go to whatever school we want, get whatever degree we want, start whatever business we want, some of us sit back and do nothing with all that freedom. And I guarantee you, if them slaves on them plantations knew all the liberties that you currently have right now that you're not taking advantage of, they would tell you, what in the world are you doing? You know how many times they whipped me so we can get to where we at? How many of us lost their lives in lynchings, hangings, because they found them with a book? Listen to me, man. They would be telling us what you're doing with all this freedom. When you can be and do whatever you want, what you're doing with all this freedom. They would tell us you're taking it for granted. You're showing ingratitude. All right? With all this freedom, you come from the lowest, not having nothing. Huh? And now the door is open so you could have everything. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to go get it. You could have a house now. You could own property now. You can own a business now. You can go get you a degree, a technical field. You can write a book now. You can invent something and have a patent now. People would be saying, man, what y'all wasting your time? You know what they gave for y'all to have these opportunities? Now let's bring it back spiritual. You know what the Son of God gave? For you to be able to talk to the Father freely? You see, sometimes we appreciate things based upon how much was spent on it. You see, you can go in somebody's house, amen, and grab a shoe. I don't know. They might have an expensive shoe, but you don't know what it is. You know? And you walking on that shoe, kicking that shoe around. And then people pick that up and they tell you how much they spun on that shoe. I guarantee you, you would treat that shoe differently. Or you would treat that vase differently. Or you would treat that painting differently. Because you would be educated of the cost. Think of the cost he paid for you to pray. So the writer of Hebrews says, considering all this, he said, man, let us do what? Let us draw near to God. Come on, give God some glory, amen. We got to take advantage of the door that was open, all right? He said, draw near with a true heart. And all that means is without hypocrisy, amen? That means that we coming in and we being real with God. We being truthful with God. Amen. And it don't mean we not going to make mistakes. Amen. But what God desires is truth in the inward parts. Amen. You come in and you fall on your knees and you're being real. He says in full assurance. That means that when we come to God and draw near, we should come in faith. Amen. See, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Most High God. Don't you dare draw near to God, not believing that God is and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because God don't want to be insulted, amen, by your doubt and your unbelief. He'll look at the angel and say, you think this fool know who you're talking to? All right? So we draw near, but we don't draw near any kind of way. We draw near in sincerity, and we draw near knowing who we praying to. And that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. He's a mountain mover, y'all. A sea splitter, y'all. All right? He's saying, take advantage of the open door, but when you come in, know who you're talking to. Come on, give God some glory. Amen? He says, having your heart sprinkled, not just telling us how to come into prayer. Amen. Because, amen, the world dirties us, amen. When we come to prayer, one of the first things we got to do is repent of the things that we done did. A lot of us so prideful and so self-righteous, we don't think we've done anything wrong. Now, we're the only ones that don't think we didn't do anything wrong, but our wife and our children and our boss and everybody that know us, amen, we leave a war zone behind us and think that we're perfect. So take my word for it. When you go into prayer, repent. But I don't know what I did. You did something. Are you with me here so far? You asking for forgiveness. Forgiveness of what? Known and unknown sin. Conscious, unconscious sin. Intentional, unintentional. That's what he's saying. Having your heart sprinkled. Lord, I'm coming in clean. The Old Testament priest didn't go in but by blood. And that's how we got to be. But not the blood of the animal. Don't go kill a chicken in your backyard. Take the blood of Jesus with you. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Then he says in 22, having your bodies washed with pure water. Pastor, what that mean? I got to take me a bath and design it? Kid Wood? No. No. The commentator say, right there, he talked about baptism. He's saying, if you're going to draw near, make sure you're serious about Christ. One of the best ways to show Christ that you're serious, your inward profession has to have an external outward confession, and that is baptism. It's one of the first things that God tells us to do after we save. We get saved, we believe, and guess what? We got to go to the waters. All right? Some of y'all save, you believe, but you ain't been baptized yet. And so you tell me, but Pastor, I was baptized when I was a baby. My question is, did you believe when you was a baby? And I would tell you no, because you didn't know what to believe. You're not baptized before you believe. You're baptized after you believe. All right? Now, the fact that this is in here telling us when we draw near to God, amen, we got to be ready and have some things. This is telling me something, y'all. That when we fall on our knees in prayer, God look at us. He's not going to shun us. But he's looking at us and saying, was she baptized? Was he baptized? Did they tell the world through this outward sign that they're serious about me? And I don't know about you, but for my own walk, when I got baptized, my walk went up a notch. All right? I'm not saying you're not saved or anything unless you come to the water, but all I'm saying is baptism is the first step of obedience. And God blesses us for it. So I don't know who I'm talking to. And spring is coming in. The coal is going out. And during these times, these months, amen, we're going to break out the baptismal pool again, amen. And my word to you is, if you have not been baptized since you believed, be baptized in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Hey, God, he says you want to draw near, but having your bodies washed with pure water. Somebody say, take me to the water.
Take me to the water.
All right. Let's keep on going. We're almost done. Listen. He says, because he's making us a new covenant and got this new and living way, amen. He says, let us draw near. But not only that, 23, let us hold fast. Somebody say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
All right. In 23 says, let us hold fast that profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. This hold fast in the Greek means to seize upon something, to take hold of it firmly, to take possession of it and not let it go, to strain while you hold it, to hold it down and not let nobody pick it up. You see what the Bible is saying here? If this new covenant cost Jesus this much, y'all, the Son of God, his life, then we should not lose it easily. Nobody should come here and convince us that he didn't die on that cross, that he didn't rise on the third day, and that he's not coming back again. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, hold fast.
Hold fast.
And the reason you hold fast is because Jesus paid so much. He tells us, amen. He says, hallelujah. He says, hold fast. All right? And this reminds me, amen, of a situation. And it's the situation us as a lot of first-generation believers, we trying to provide for our children. We trying to work hard at living right. We trying to work hard at serving God. We're trying to work hard, amen, building up income and possessions, amen. And I want to tell you, amen, Cherie, what if we do all of that, all of us in here, all right? And we serve the Lord, and the Lord fulfill every word that he promised us, and we leave our kids with inheritance, y'all. And we're going to do it. I'm telling you right now. The Bible says a good man, a righteous man, leave an inheritance for what? His children's children. And that's what we're going to do, y'all. That's what we're going to do, all right? All right? And I just want to ask you a question. If you work hard all your life coming out the gutter, coming out the hood, coming out the projects, not having nothing, and you acquire all this stuff, and you pass away and you give it to your children, and when you give it to them and they go ahead and just act the plumb fool and waste it all in the first year that they get it, all the houses, real estate property, you left them, all of the portfolios and the bank accounts, amen, they just go wild and they do it. God forbid. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Woo, God, I can't give the example. But just imagine, you work that hard and the generation after it wasted. This is what Christ is saying. He's saying, if I did this much for you, I let them people spit in my face. I let them people call me Beelzebub. I let them people hit me with a bamboo reed. I let them people smack me. Listen, I could have opened the earth and swallowed every last single one of them, Jesus is saying. He said, I could have called, amen, legions of angels and just mopped the earth. But I let them beat me to a pulp, Jesus said. Bible says his body was so marred he was unrecognizable after they beat him. Put a crown of thorns on his head, made him carry that cross, amen, through Jerusalem like a criminal. Huh? Lost so much blood, couldn't carry the cross. Simon had to come and help him. And when they got to the place of a skull, Golgotha, amen, they crucified him there. Put them nails in his hands, amen, and nail in his feet, amen, and they raised him up on that cross. And he endured, amen, the blasphemy of people. If you be the Son of God, come off this cross. Teasing him like a bunch of schoolyard kids, not knowing that if he came off that cross, every one of them would run. But he did all of that, y'all. He did all of that work, and they stabbed him in that side with that spear, amen, after they laughed at him and cut up. And he gave up the ghost and died. He did all that work. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying, you're going to let Christ do all that work and go watch the History Channel and go tune in to some guy from I don't know where he's from some wine alley making a video. You don't go listen to him. You don't go listen to Leroy after Christ did all of that, and you're going to let go of the cross that easy? You're going to let go of the gospel that easy? The writer of Hebrews said, no way, friends. No way. We not only have to draw near, we got to hold fast. We got to hold this thing. Used to be a thing we used to call, Mike, a death grip. We got to have a death grip on that thing. Oh, death grip is when somebody about to fall, they not letting go. Let me tell you something. I got a death grip on the cross. Anybody hear me up in here? Listen to me. Everything going to fall off before I let go of this cross. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, hold fast. Hold fast. Heaven, they say them pit bulls, amen. When they grab on to something, they lock on it. And once they lock it, man, you better pull some of my tongue. Listen. I need a few Christian pit bulls up in here. I need some people to lock on Calvary tonight. Somebody say, hold fast. If he gonna make this new way, this living way, that the way that was not there before for us, the only way, you draw near to it and you hold on to it. He said, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And what that means is we don't let that devil see an inch of movement from it. When that History Channel come on, we found his body and we, devil, I'm turning it. He said, without wavering, without wavering, like I ain't going nowhere. Somebody say, hold fast. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. The old church people used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Here's the last one. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out. I'm moving as fast as I can, y'all. All right? Verse 24. He made a way for us, y'all. So he said, let us draw near. Utilize this. Take advantage of it. Let us hold fast. Not let this thing waste. Don't waste this thing he bought for us. And he said, another thing is, and let us consider one another. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This word consider, amen, means to think about. It means to contemplate. It means to keep in mind. And when he made this way, he didn't make it for one person. He made it for a group of people. He made it for his church, his bride, his people. All right? And if you could imagine, amen, he builds this bridge that brings us from sin and death, and we cross this chasm into the promised land, all right? And we move into a different drummer. We move into the beat of a different drummer. We go in the opposite way of the world, amen? And everybody is against us. And so, amen, he wants us to consider one another. As we walk in a cross, as we move in a cross, don't just walk across and leave people behind and walk over people. He's telling you to consider one another. Help one another out as we, as, can you see us going across this bridge? Can you see us moving to the promised land? Can you see us marching to Zion? Don't be selfish as you march. Don't be selfish as you follow God. Don't be selfish as you cross this bridge. He says, consider one another, all right? And it's very important, y'all. It's very important. See, you got to understand, amen, that we have a lot of enemies on this side, all right? And a lot of the times, amen, as a believer, you could feel surrounded. You could feel like everything is going wrong. Right? And you could feel alone. Okay? And Peter put together in his epistle, amen, and 1 Peter, amen, and I love this scripture, 5:9, because it's one that I meditate on quite frequently, amen, 1 Peter 5:9, And he wants to tell the people he's writing to, amen, that they're not alone, okay? But there's a bunch of us on this new and living way, and we march into Zion. And though we're surrounded by wolves, there's people with us that can help us if we would just consider one another, all right? And Peter, he talks about the devil. He calls him a roaring lion, roaring about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he's continuing in verse 9, talking about the devil. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Then he says this, knowing. Peter wants you to know something. Knowing what, Peter? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Yeah. This is comforting to me, my brethren. This means that whatever I'm going through, I'm not going through alone. That just like the devil attacking me, he attacking some of my brethren in the world the same way. Just like the world trying to take me out. Amen. Hallelujah. I got some people that the world trying to take out too. Just like my flesh is trying to cut up and act up. Guess what? I got a group of people that Satan, the world, and their flesh trying to act up too. Anybody hearing me up in here? You see, it's something about suffering when you know you're not suffering alone that makes it bearable. All right? What you're going through tonight, you are not alone. Whatever you're going through, there is somebody in this place going through the same thing you're going through right now. right now. Some kind of affliction the devil threw in, some marital discord. They got couples. Y'all sitting mad. They got two other couples sitting mad up in here too. Your money a little short? They got a few people in here money short too. I'm talking about, listen, we talking about dimes. All they got is a dime on them right now. But they got one dime, but they standing in hope to pick two up out in the parking lot. Whatever you're going through right now, tonight, listen, the same afflictions are being accomplished in your brethren that's in the world. Whatever you're going through, whether it's sickness, whether it's a situation on the job, whatever you're going through right now, problems with the kids, they got four or five of them up in here with the same thing. You sitting there, God, can you fix it? Amen. And the beauty of it is not only do you have some, hey, God, that's going through the same problem, but you got some that done made it out of the problem. You don't think I remember sitting in church with two dimes in my pocket? You don't think I don't remember sitting in church being mad with my spouse? You don't think I don't remember, amen, hallelujah, going through some discord, whatever? Listen, you're not alone. The Bible said that there is no temptation given among men. No temptation that is uncommon. Hallelujah. It's slipping my memory right here. Hallelujah. But y'all know what I'm talking about. All right? He never give us more than we could bear. And he's never going to throw anything new at you. Other people going through it too. So he tells us to consider one another. Help each other out along the way. All right? Don't just be selfish, amen, but help each other out. You say, Pastor, but I'm going through my own thing. You know, sometimes you're not going to get through what you're going through until you help somebody else get through what they're going through. All right? So you help somebody out. Pastor, how do I do it? Well, send somebody a text. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Shoot them an email. Stop by and visit. Say a little prayer with them when you see they going through. Just bow your head. Look, we're going to pray right now about it. We're going to touch and agree right now. We just gonna touch and agree right now. That's what he means when he said, consider one another. All right? You short today, you got two dimes. Listen, well, I got a quarter. All right? You might not be able to cook with it, but you can get your Miss Debbie. Little Debbie, we can... Y'all, one day I was in church. Carlos, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to say this joke right here. I just got to say this. And the wanna come up to me. the wanna say, Pastor, I done had it with him. I said, the wanna, what's going on? He said, Pastor, she said, Pastor, he won't leave her alone. I said, oh, God, this is serious. I said, the wanna, come on, the wanna. She said, I done had it with the coat. That's what she said. You know, she was saying all kinds of stuff. I'm always catching him with her and all this and all that. I said, who is she, Duana? He said, that little Debbie, I can't deal with him no more. Him and that little Debbie. I laughed like that. I might have laughed at that joke for about 5 days straight. Because I was like, my boy, how I'm going to make it work for my boy. I'm thinking it's serious, Mello. Listen. Oh, she got me with down. All right, let's get back to it. He said, consider one another, you know. Consider one another. He said, to provoke unto love and to good works. Not only do we check on each other and help each other out on the way, but we should be a catalyst, a spark plug to encourage one another to do good. See, in the world, we encourage one another to do bad. You know? Leave him, girl. You know? No, we say stay. Amen. We say stay. We say, man of God, think about your family, man of God. We say, don't break no rules. Don't steal. Don't do, you know, we provoke to what? Good works and to love. And this is the last one. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And all that means is while we consider one another, we got to keep gathering. We got to come to Tuesday. We got to come to Sunday, Thursday. Ladies, Bible study. We gotta do the best we can to get together. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but when the Bible say, what, two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. See, I feel better when I'm here with y'all. Amen. No matter what we doing, Mike, no matter what we doing, if I get someplace in the brethren or there, I just feel better in my spirit. Amen. And he says that we should do it all the more as we see the day approach. Amen. So listen, that's the Bible study for today. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 If you're here tonight, amen, and you're not saved and you want to be saved, you want this new and living way. You thought that you could make it your own way by yourself. Or you could pick a way out of the many list of saviors. It's only Jesus tonight, y'all. And so we're going to pray. And you're going to admit you're a sinner. You're going to believe in Jesus Christ. And you're going to confess him as your Savior. And the Lord's going to save you tonight. He's going to save you tonight. So bow your head right now. And imagine yourself at the throne room of God. And I want you to say, God, our Father, Most High, thank you for loving me. Thank you for the cross. Now, Lord, I admit I've sinned against you. And I'm so sorry of all my mistakes. I repent and ask you to please forgive me. I believe you died on that cross. You were buried in the grave. And you rose the third day. Lord, save me, a sinner. And use me for your glory. And I will hold fast to the gospel, to the cross that you have purchased. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. Woo. Oh, the Lord. Oh, that's another one, huh? Oh, that's a good one, Carlos. Carlos going to start some trouble here. Y'all stand to your feet, amen. Hallelujah. Which way are you going, brother? Okay, all right. All right, I got to get used to the new time, y'all. Don't worry about that. We're going to make it work, amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Shalom peace. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Sharpshooter. What's up, Chad? Love you, Miss T.